The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today's going to be a special broadcast of our Gospel Truth program. I'm going to teach on spirit, soul, and body. And of course, this is one of the teachings that just totally revolutionized my life. This is foundational to me, and really everything that I believe, everything that God has shown me came out of this teaching. And this happened, I don't even know, it's been 40 years ago or something like that. And when I begin to understand these truths about spirit, soul, and body, it's just like somebody put a key in my brain and turned it and unlocked it. I mean, this is that significant to me. This just totally revolutionized my life. So, there is a lot of teaching. I've got books on this. I've got all kinds of DVDs, CDs, a lot of teaching. But what we're going to do today is go to a live broadcast that I made in Chicago. This was taped at World Changers Church. And it was a long time ago. It was not their brand new auditorium, but the previous auditorium. And anyway, it's just going to be 2 days that I'm going to use this teaching. So we're going to cover this very quickly. It's not going to be as in-depth as I often go, but I think it's really good. This was a great teaching because it summarized the thing. Sometimes I think that when you get so detailed that you're trying to explain everything, that actually you get into so much detail that you lose people. So what I've done, this is just a quick overview. We're only going to be playing this from the teaching from today and tomorrow, and it'll be a quick overview, but I think it'll give you a tremendous exposure to it. Also, there's some of you that don't know that I can wear a suit and tie, and I'm actually going to be wearing a suit and tie. I've actually had some people ride in and asked if I was paralyzed, if that's the reason that I sat in a chair. So I'm going to show you that I'm not paralyzed, that I can get up and walk around. And so it'll be different than our normal broadcast, but I think it'll be good for you. So anyway, watch this, and I'll be back at the close of the broadcast.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
But you know, I had a real miraculous experience with the Lord March the 23rd, 1968. I was born again when I was 8 years old. When I was 18 years old, it was in 1968. And so that you'll listen to me and you won't be sitting here trying to figure this out in your head. I'm 52. And anyway, I had this miraculous encounter with the Lord, and God just poured out His love in my life in a supernatural, tangible way. I can't explain it to you, but for 4.5 months, I was just gone someplace. I was in the presence of the Lord, and it was awesome. It was wonderful, but it was also confusing because it ruined my theology. I had basically thought that I was always trying to do something to make God love me. I was always trying to read the Word or to be good or to do something, and I was living a super holy life. I'm 52 years old. I've never said a word of profanity in all my 52 years. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never tasted coffee. It's true. Closest I ever got to coffee was in Vietnam. I was so cold one time they brought by steaming hot coffee, and I put it between my legs and warmed my hands on the steam. And when it quit boiling, I poured it over my hands, and that's as close as I ever got to drinking coffee. I'm not saying the coffee and the booze are the same thing. The Scripture says you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. Amen. So you got a Scripture to stand on for drinking coffee. I'm just saying that, you know what, I was living a super holy life, but I was doing all of these things in order to get God to love me. And even though I knew I was saved and I wouldn't go to hell, I didn't feel the love of God. And when this experience that I had was wonderful, but it totally ruined my theology because it was at my worst. It was when God showed me how sorry I was, and when I finally confronted and admitted my failures and realized how much I'd blown it, is when all of this love was dumped in my life. And so after the emotion of it wore off, in some ways I was worse off than before, because now I knew everything I had believed was wrong. I knew that God didn't love me based on any worth or value or merit that I had. And I was totally given up on trying to earn God's favor and love. I knew that that wasn't it. And I didn't know what I did to make it leave. I didn't know what I did to make God show me how much He loved me. And I got desperate. And during a period of time I was in Vietnam, I spent 13 months asking God to kill me. Not because of Vietnam or because of anything, but because I just thought that you couldn't experience that relationship with God that I'd tasted except to just die and go to be with the Lord. And so I spent 13 months just wanting to die and go to be with the Lord. And I nearly got killed twice in one day over in Vietnam. And I found out I really wasn't as excited about dying as I thought I was. Amen. It kind of bothered me, and I didn't really want to die. So I decided I need to do something different. And out of desperation, I started reading the Bible. And it wasn't because I enjoyed it. It was just because there was nothing else to do. I was in a bunker that was wallpapered with nude pictures of women. That's, you know, the place that I lived in for 13 months. And so it was hard to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. So what I did, I just stayed like this. 16 hours a day, man, I'd read the Bible like this. And I started reading out of desperation so that I wouldn't go the other direction. And to my surprise, God started teaching me some things that have revolutionized my life. And basically, this is all I do is just travel around and tell people the things that God used to change my life. And I see that I'm not any different than anybody else. The same things that work for me work for other people. So anyway, what I want to share with you briefly this morning is just some real simple things. This little revelation of spirit, soul, and body is what really began to turn my life around. It helped me to understand the grace of God. If you can understand this teaching on spirit, soul, and body, you can understand the justice and the mercy of God meeting together. Most people can't do that. Most people think that if God has mercy on you, then He has to suspend justice, and that's not true. Anyway, there's a lot of applications of this. Let's look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. As a matter of fact, before you get there, let me just quote to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 says, "And I pray God that He would preserve that..." Are you going to put that up there? Anyway, I'm not sure I can quote the whole thing. But anyway, the part I was wanting to get at is, "I pray God would preserve you wholly, spirit, soul, and body, blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus." So that scripture mentions spirit, soul, and body. You have three parts to you. The body is very obvious what it's talking about. That's the part of me that you're looking at. And all of us are in touch with our physical body. You take a lot of care with it, whether right now you're feeling either hot or cold, or you know, or you're tired, or your back hurts. You're in touch with your physical body. There's another part of you that the Bible calls the soul, and that's the inner personality part of you. That's what most people consider to be the real you. Your soul is comprised of your mind, your will, your emotions, but it's what most people think is the real you. Like, for instance, if I was to come up and touch your physical body, you could feel me touch you. But I can also touch you without ever touching your physical body. I can touch you by the words that I say. I can say something nice to you that would make you feel good, or I can say something bad to you that'll make you feel bad. That's your personality part. It's your soul. And that's what most people consider to be the real them. And most people don't, as far as practical things, acknowledge that there is another part to you other than your physical body and then your soul, your feelings, your emotional realm. But there is a third part to you, and that's your spirit. Many people confuse the spirit and soul and think that they're the same. Matter of fact, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, which is the number one concordance that most Christians use, Strong will define the word spirit as the intangible soul of a man, and it's wrong. The soul and the spirit are different. They're separate parts. And many people just confuse this. You know that you have a physical body, and you know that you have an inner person that has feelings and emotions and things, but most people don't go beyond that, and that's the reason for great confusion and misunderstanding in the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And the next verse says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto God by Himself." This scripture says that if you are in Christ, You are a brand new creature. One of the translations says you're a brand new species of being that never existed before. It's talking about total change. Total, complete change. It says old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, if you don't understand spirit, soul, and body, you'll never fully appreciate this verse and apply it to your life. If you are thinking that when you get born again, God changes you physically in actions, and you think that that's the part of you that this is talking about, then this verse will become a source of great condemnation in your life. Because you know what? You are not changed physically. Now, you will reflect and manifest a change to a degree, but that's conditional on a lot of things. You don't just instantly change in your physical body. You know, there's a lot of people confused on this because there's some people, when they come to the Lord, they just instantly get delivered of cigarettes, dope, alcohol, adultery, and they're delivered of all kinds of things, and it just seems like instantaneous transformations. We like those kind of examples, and so we have those people stand up here and give testimonies, and without even saying it, we kind of present that this is the way that every Christian ought to be. Well, it doesn't happen that way with everybody. Some people, the reason you act the way that you acted before you got born again is because you were absolutely demon-possessed. And when you get born again, you get delivered of demons, and you know what? Poof! Instantly, you're changed. Other people, it isn't demons as such, it's just the flesh. It's just carnality. It's just you have learned to indulge yourself, and you know what? You can't get delivered of the flesh. Some people have to grow through and renew their mind, and it takes effort to see this change. And so if you aren't careful, you'll read a scripture like 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. You'll have somebody stand up here who just had a change like that, and you'll compare yourself with them and say, am I really saved? Because you are looking for the change in the physical realm. You know, my mail, we have, I don't know, tens of thousands of prisoners on our mailing list. And when I teach on this, our mail from prisoners goes through the roof. And because prisoners, when they get in jail, know that they need a change. They're looking for a change. And so they have somebody come across and tell them about, if you'll believe on Jesus, you'll become a new creature. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. And so they pray and ask Jesus into their life because they want a change. They want out of jail. They want another chance. They're looking for a change. They wake up in the morning. They're in the same prison cell. They got the same guards. They're wearing the same clothes. They're being treated the same way. And they still got this life sentence or whatever in front of them. And many of them just think, well, nothing changed, because they were looking for the change to be physical. When the Bible says that if you are in Christ, old things pass away, all things become new, it is not talking about your physical body. Your body isn't saved. It's been purchased. Jesus has died for it, and you've got the promise that someday you're going to receive a glorified body and a changed body. But right now, the part of you that's in Christ Jesus and that got saved is not your physical body. Your physical body is not saved. It's purchased, but it's not yet redeemed. Those are some theological terms that sometimes people struggle over. And most of you are probably too young to remember this, but when I was a kid, my mother used to collect S&H green stamps. And you know what? She would give the green stamps to me, and I would stick them in the book, and then we would go to what they called a redemption center. And I would trade those stamps in for whatever I wanted. Now, the stamps were a proof that you had purchased something, but nobody wanted the stamps. You wanted what you could redeem the stamps for. And so you went to the redemption center. Well, your body has been purchased, but you know what? It is not redeemed. We are waiting for the redemption of the purchased possession. So what I'm trying to say through this is that if you are looking for your relationship with God to boom, instantly change your physical circumstances, then you are looking for the wrong thing. And because of it, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be confused. You're going to feel like God failed you and let you down. Now, don't misunderstand. I do believe that God wants to bless you physically and change circumstances, but it is a byproduct. That is not the change that takes place at salvation. And to prove it, you can go look in a mirror. Do you know what? If you were fat before you got saved, you'll still be fat after you get saved. Old things don't pass away and all things become new. That is not what happens at salvation. And if you are only looking for a physical change, you are going to be confused, disappointed, bitter towards God. And then you're going to start saying, well, the Bible isn't true because it says old things passed away, all things became new. Well, it did, but it just didn't happen in the physical realm. And it also didn't happen in your personality and emotion part. Your personality part of you has not been saved. It has been purchased, but it is not redeemed. To prove that, if you were stupid before you got saved, you'll still be stupid after you get saved. Amen. You know what? Just because you get born again doesn't mean you're going to start passing all of your tests. And you will still have the same thoughts. You'll still have the same everything. And so if you aren't aware of the spiritual world, you know what? Many people cry out and pray to God to come change their life. And if they don't see something physical, if they don't feel something emotional, then they think, well, it didn't work. They get out of faith and they walk away from trusting and believing God. See, this is what God began to reveal to me. After this miraculous encounter I had with the Lord, I had such an emotional connection with the Lord. I felt the joy and the love of God so powerfully. I mean, it was unbelievable. I couldn't even describe to you what happened. And after it left, I was looking for an emotional contact with the Lord. I was looking for something physical, tangible. And during the time I was in Vietnam, they came out with the song, I've got peace like a river, joy like a fountain, love like the ocean in my soul. And they would sing that. They had Victory in Jesus was going around and some other songs like that. You know what? I never would sing those songs because I said, I may be a lot of things, but I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I don't have love like the ocean, joy like a fountain and stuff. I said, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. And I refused to ever get into that stuff because I wasn't going to say something that wasn't true. But you know what? Here's what the Lord began to show me, that in my spirit, I did have love, joy, and peace. In my spirit, I did have all of these things. And the rest of the Christian life isn't trying to get God to give me anything. But it is rather a drawing out of what was already in me in Christ. When I got born again, I was absolutely, totally changed. And I'm going to run through some scriptures very quickly because we just don't have a lot of time here. But I'm going to run through some scriptures that will show you that your born-again spirit, when you got born again, you became exactly identical to the Lord Jesus Christ in your spirit. Everything that Jesus is and has, you have in your spirit. You're identical. You have the same power, the same anointing, the same faith, the same joy, the same peace. All of these things are already in you. You don't need to pray and ask God for any of this. You know, I'm sure that this is a good church. Like I said, I really respect Greg and Grace, and I praise God. I can see what God's doing. But you know what? I bet you out of this group, even in a good church, that probably the majority of you ask God, oh God, please pour out your love in my life. Oh God, give me more faith. Oh God, touch me and heal my body. Do you know all of those are wrong prayers? The truth is God has already done everything. In your spirit is perfect and complete. And instead of spending the rest of your life asking God for these things, it should be you releasing, discovering what you already have in your spirit and releasing it. Amen? I keep pointing to my stomach because the Bible says in John chapter 7, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed upon him should receive. So your spirit is here in your belly. Amen. Some of us look like we got more of the Spirit than others, but it's not true, praise God. Look over here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, speaking of Jesus, so are we in this world. It didn't say so are we going to be in the future world, so are we going to be in heaven. We sing these songs about when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. In the sweet by and by, but nobody likes the rough now and now. Amen. But you know what? This scripture says, as He is, so are we in this world. Now, some people read a passage of scripture like that and they say, the Bible is so hard to understand. I just can't understand what it means. I'm like Jesus. They go look in the mirror and they say, Jesus doesn't look like this. Jesus doesn't have zits and bags under his eyes and gray hair and bulges where he shouldn't and things like this. And they say, I just can't understand the Bible. Your body isn't like Jesus. Your body is going to have to be changed into a glorified body. Or some people will search their emotional realm and they say, as Jesus is, so am I. You're telling me that Jesus is fearful the way that I am? That Jesus is hurt? That he gets offended? That he's bitter and angry? And they say the Bible's just so hard to understand. The only part of you that is like Jesus is your born-again spirit. Your body and your soul are not like Jesus. We're all in varying stages of getting our body, our actions, and our emotions to conform to the way Jesus is. But in your spirit, if you're born again, every last one of you are identical to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another scripture to go along with that is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And it says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And the word one there in the Greek is the Greek word hes, H-E-I-S. And it means a singular one to the exclusion of another. It doesn't mean that we're one in the sense that we're going in parallel directions. We now are a little bit like Jesus. We have the same desires. It's talking about identical to such a degree that you're a singular one to the exclusion of another. If you've been joined unto the Lord, you are one with the Lord. Your spirit has all of the knowledge in it that Jesus has. I'm beginning to say so many things here that, you know what, most Christians just go into overload and you're looking at me, but you've shut off. Like, it's not so, but it's true. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:16, that we have the mind of Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. The average person will say, well, I don't know all things. You know why? Because you're searching your soulish realm. You're searching the part of you that they test on a, you know, you take a test and you say, well, I don't know all things. That's with your little peanut brain, you don't know all things. But you know what? In your spirit, you have the mind of Christ and you know everything that Jesus knows. Here's a little P.S. Don't forget where I am, but let me just throw this in. This is why speaking in tongues is so important. Because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13, that when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. And what is your spirit praying? 1 Corinthians 14:3 says it's praying the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, Paul said, I preach the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. You know what? Paul was preaching the things that his spirit knew. And you know how he drew it out? Through speaking in tongues. He was praying the hidden wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, if you pray in tongues, pray also that you interpret. Praying in tongues. You have the mind of Christ. Every time you ever come up against anything, instead of saying, well, further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. We're just no good here in this life. God knows. And going along in that attitude, you know what you need to do is say, Father, I thank you that I have an unction from the Holy One and I know all things. It's not in my brain, but it's in my spirit. And I'm going to draw it out. And so you start praying in tongues and ask God to interpret it. And guess what? Supernatural wisdom will come to you. So I hope you enjoyed that. That's a little different than we normally show on our program. I do want to remind you that this is just the first half of the teaching. We had to break into the middle of it. And tomorrow, we are going to continue this teaching from Life Changers International. I think I said World Changers, but it's Life Changers with Greg and Grace Dickow. They're good friends of mine up there in Chicago. And this was a powerful service. People's lives were changed, and I think it'll be a blessing to you also. So we've shown the first half. We'll show the second half tomorrow. I encourage you to tune in then. And also, I'd like to encourage you to listen to our announcer as he gives you some information about how you can get this teaching, not only the exact one that you've seen here on television, but we have a DVD and a book on spirit, soul, and body. And as I've said before, this is the teaching that just transformed my life. I can guarantee you this will be a blessing to you. So please listen. and then call or write and receive these materials today.
Andrew's teaching titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in a 4-part CD album when you send a gift of any amount. Request item T1027 when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the audio CD album is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching TK91 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Spirit, Soul, and Body, the book, is also available when you send a gift of any amount. Request T318 when you write, call, or go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching is also available in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Whether teaching Sunday school, leading a small group or home church, discipling an individual, or studying for your own personal growth, this study guide is designed for you. Included is a CD-ROM that allows you to duplicate any resources needed for each lesson. Request study guide T418 when you contact the ministry.
Once again, let me just emphasize that this is the teaching that totally changed my life. And I believe it'll change any person's life. I've seen so many people transformed through this. So if you have not gotten these materials on Spirit, Soul, and Body, I encourage you to do so. It is life transforming. It will completely revolutionize your relationship with the Lord. You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's what this whole teaching is about. It will make a huge difference. So again, our announcer is going to share with you about how you can get these materials. Please call or write today and get these materials on Spirit, Soul, and Body.
You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day at awmi.net. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If the lines are full, remember there's no cost to contact us at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You know why we're up and down? Because you are in and out of the Spirit and in the flesh. If you are in Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can love at all times. You can always triumph. There is no failure in your spirit. And I know that there's people right now who are really getting agitated by what I'm saying, because our society has actually come to the place to where having problems and feeling hurt and pain is worn like a badge, and we condemn anybody who comes along and says, be strong. And we're saying, oh, you're condemning people and you're telling them that they shouldn't be that way.